Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Samach Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today she begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Samach Hei. Before we begin the actual shiur, let us glance at the side where we have our nosei, our topic heading, which reads Isha She'eino Bas Bonim, a woman that has been determined to be incapable of bearing children, al pi chazaka, through a status of having been achieved. This is a topic that we discussed at length in our last shiur. We want to know, number one, din ksubasa, what is the law with regard to money that a woman receives when she is divorced through the ksuba marriage document? And number two, ma dino im be'osid im gever acher hi tolid. What is the halacha if in the future she actually bears children with another man? The Mivneh structural note indicates that the diamonds, when they appear, are she'elois be'inyan hanal. These are questions in the topic, regarding the topic that we just stated. So now the Gemara, 4 lines from the top, at the end of the line, Tonu Rabbanon, we have a Tanaic source, which says, Niseis l'rishon v'loi hoyu l'abonim. She married a first husband and with him had no children. L'sheni v'lo hoyu l'abonim. She then married a second husband, which she is entitled to do as we saw in the Mishnah, but with him too she had no children. L'shlishi loy tinosei elo l'mi sheyesh loy bonim. She is not to marry a third man unless that third man has children, so that he doesn't have to worry about the problem of pru uravu, because he's already fulfilled the mitzvah of pru uravu, is procreation. He's already fulfilled that particular mitzvah. Niseis l'mi she'ein loy bonim, teitse b'loy ksuba. If she married someone that has no children, so then she is to be divorced without receiving her money as is indicated in the ksuba, namely, if it was a regular marriage that was being disbanded, so then the woman would receive ksuba money. But since she is someone that is a barren woman that married a man she should not have married, so she doesn't get the ksuba. Ibaya laho. The question now is asked. Niseis lishlishi veloi hoyu la bonim. She married a third man and didn't have children. Mahu delisbeuha hanoch kamoi. Can the first two husbands that paid her the ksuba money, after they divorced her, or they had to pay her the ksuba money, you have this very woman that married a third man and did not have children with the third man. Can they claim a ksuba refund, the ksuba money that they had paid her? Mi motsu amri, can they say, mi motsu amri lo, can they say to her, igloi milsa, it's now determined retroactively, de at hu de garmis, that you are the cause. Now you see, after two husbands not having born children, so we suspect that she has established herself as someone incapable of bearing. But after marrying a third man and not having children, and it becomes clear, it's obvious that she is the cause. Oy Dilma, or maybe Motzis Omra Lahu, maybe she has a counterclaim. Hashta Hu Dekachshi. It's only now that I have become weakened. In other words, after my marriage with you, Mr. One, and my marriage with you, Mr. Two, I wasn't the problem, you were the problem. The fact that I married number three, and with him as well, I didn't have children, only now have I become weakened or sickly, and that's why I have no children with Mr. Three. The Gemara answers, Mistabra Motzis Omra Lahu. It's most likely like the second possibility, like the Bay's possibility, that she can tell them, Hashta Hu Dekachashi, that only now I have become weakened. And they cannot claim a ksuba refund from her. Ibaya Laho Nises Loravii Vahoyu La Bonim. This woman that has not had children till now, she with three men that she had married, no children, and now she marries a fourth man, and with him she has children. Mahu Detit Be Lishlishi. Can she claim ksuba money from the third man that had not paid her ksuba? Amrinan law, so we tell her, and this is the first of two stages in responding to this, so we tell her, Shtikusech yofa mi diburech. Your silence is better, is more beneficial than your talking. Namely, don't try to claim money from Mr. Three. The Motzi Omar law, Mr. Three could say to her, if you are claiming money from me and now you've had children, Ano Adaito Dehochi Lo Gareshtich. I did not divorce you on the grounds that you were a woman capable of bearing children. So that basically he is nullifying his divorce of her. And retroactively then, she is not considered divorced. And if that's the case, her marriage to Mr. Four would be strictly forbidden. And the children that she had with him, being that she's not really divorced because her divorce was nullified retroactively, the children that she bore from number four would be mamzerim, illegitimate. Maskif lo Rav Papa. Rav Papa raises an objection to this analysis. Shaska, if she remains silent, like you just suggested, where the third husband, in fact, would have had a strong claim, but she simply remained silent, and that would solve any problem. Well, anan mishaskinon, do we remain silent? Nimtza get batel uboneh mamzerim. As we said before, well, we wouldn't remain silent, and her get would then be void, and the children she had with Mr. Four would be mamzerim. Now, Rashi clarifies the point here, because the mere translation doesn't do the job. Rashi, maskiflor papa, the e motzi baila Livtuli get Bahochi, if it really were possible for Mr. Three to void the get with this kind of claim, Ki Shosak Mayhave, his silence, what difference would that have made? Anan Mishaskinon, do we remain silent? Ha Vadai Adaita Dahochi Lo Girsho. It's obvious that he didn't divorce her thinking that she could bear children. Ella, and here's the main point. Midishaskinon, from the fact that we do remain silent, Vadai Lo Motzi Livtuli, that Mr. Three could not have voided the divorce. The Amrinon lay, we tell him, Misfeko Komagarshis Lob. When you divorced her, you did it with doubt in mind, but you nevertheless divorced her. In other words, it occurred to you that she could possibly have children with Mr. Four, and nevertheless you went ahead with the divorce. Velo ichbas loch bo. You don't care about her. The gamris betaitech legerushin, and you concluded unequivocally to divorce her. So the suggestion of his being able to put a claim in for the ksuba or for, let's say, her ability to put a claim in for her ksuba with a claim for Mr. Three, and then our response that better your silence would be better off for you, that entire scenario is untrue. It doesn't begin. Elo Amrinon, rather, in viewing the situation, why number three is in fact exempt if she were to put a claim in, we tell her Hashta hu debaraisa. It's only now that you have become healthy, but with Mr. Three, you were the cause of not having children, and therefore he has no obligation to paying your ksuba. But just to review this Gemara structure, and we look first at Rashi. Elo I ika lemiftere, if there is any, let's say, grounds for exempting Mr. Three from paying her the ksuba, hachi patrinon le. It is through the following. The amrinon le, we tell him, hashta hi de ivris. It's only now that she's become healthy, shechozrios bria micholia, that she's become healthy from whatever was afflicting her. So that's the basis of the exemption, and not the whole claim that it's better for her simply to remain silent. Because even if she would have spoken up, the idea that the divorce would have been nullified retroactively doesn't get started. But rather, the divorce was a solid divorce. Nevertheless, she has no ksuba claim because we will tell her that she can't claim it based on her having children with Mr. Four, because it's only now that she has become childbearing or become healthy. But when she was with Mr. Three, she was the cause of no children, and as a result of that, she does not deserve to receive ksuba money from him, as she was the reason for the divorce. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. A double underline appears, where we've emphasized the expression Hu Omer Kach Bi Omer Es Kach, where he says something, a claim, and she has a response claim. Lemi Ma'aminim Be'inyon Porius Viuda. Who do we believe regarding these matters of fertility and childbearing? the Gemara. Hu omer mina. The husband claims that the lack of children is because of her, and therefore I don't want to pay the ksuba money. The omeres mine. And she says that he is the reason for it. Omar Rebbe Ami, Dvorim Shebeino Leveino Ne'emenes. Matters that are strictly limited to him and her. She has believability. Now, that is not clear. We didn't explain it fully. We will go on in the Gemara, and it will become clearer. What do we mean by Dvorim Shebeino Leveino? V'taimomai. So why is it? Answer: He kaimalo b'yura kechetz. Who lo kim le b'yura kechetz? In order for a woman to become impregnated as the result of intimacy, so the male seed has to be released with force. Force that's called yura kechetz. At that moment, when the seed is released into the woman, she is more reliable in testifying, in reporting that it was released or not released in a yora kechetz fashion. Literally, yora kechetz means shot like an arrow, but it has to do with released with force. So when he claims that she's the problem, he's trying to say that it was released with force, it came out with force, and she is saying it did not come out with force. So we say that she knows, she feels it, and is more more reliable regarding a disagreement concerning this matter. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Ihu. The man says, Ezel insiv itza ve'ivduk nafshoi. I'm going to marry a second woman, and that will serve as the check. If I bear with her, it'll show that I wasn't the problem. Omar Rebbe Ami, af bezu, even in this case, even if he has children with the second woman, yotzi v'yitein ksuba. He is to divorce the first woman, or we'll say if he divorces the first woman, she nevertheless receives her ksuba. Shani Omer, because we say, Kol hanoise ishal ishto, anyone who takes a second wife, in other words, while married to a woman, he takes upon himself a second wife, yotzi v'yitein ksuba. The first wife, upon her divorce, is to receive a ksuba, receive the money guaranteed in the ksuba document. Rava Omar, noise odom kama noshim al ishto, v'hu de islay le mezayninhi. A man is entitled to marry as many wives as he likes, provided he is able to support them. According to Rebbe Ami, it appears that a man who is married and attempts to take a second wife, so the first wife can insist on being divorced and also receiving her money. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Hu Omar Aflis Bego Eser. He says that his wife, miscarried within the 10 years. We should point out that this is a situation where a man has been living with a woman for 10 years and he hasn't had children. We, the court, would move in and say, hey buddy, you have a mitzvah to perform, you have to divorce her and marry another woman in order to bear children. The husband, the man, claims when the court comes to force him and say 10 years have gone by since you married her, he says, no, I'm not divorcing her now. She miscarried within the 10 years, and the clock started running again, it restarted from the point of her miscarriage. And therefore, the real 10-year passage of time has not yet arrived. So he claims she miscarried within the 10 years. The Omra, and she responds, Lo Aflis, I did not miscarry within the 10 years. I am barren. Omar Rabbi Ami, Af Bezu Hin Emenes. Even here, she is believed. The Im Isa De Pila, if it were so that she really miscarried, that would demonstrate that she is has a greater potential, we'll say, for at least achieving conception. Nafsha the Akrasa Lo Masika, if she had really miscarried within the 10 years, she wouldn't have claimed, oh, I never conceived, because by saying I never conceived, she's basically telling us that she's a barren woman. So a woman given any opportunity to say that she's not barren, based on, of course, fact, and we're not talking about liars, given an opportunity to claim that she in fact miscarried, she wouldn't pass that up. So if she's telling us that she didn't even conceive, i.e. she didn't miscarry, so she must be telling us the truth, because otherwise she wouldn't want to create a reputation or a status of being barren. Hipila v'chozra v'hipila v'chozra v'hipila, a woman who miscarried three times. Chuchsuka l'nefilim, she is established as a woman that is always going to miscarry. Hu omar apila trei v'hi omra tlas, the husband claims that she miscarried only twice and therefore are not obligated to divorce her yet. Vehi Omra Tlas, and she says, I have miscarried three times. It seems also that just from the simple reading of the Gemara, this issue has nothing to do with the 10 years. It's just, as the Gemara said on the fourth line from the top, that a woman who miscarried three times is established as someone who miscarries. So he claims that she didn't miscarry three times yet, only twice. She says, I miscarried three times. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elozer, Uvda Hava Bei Midrasha, a case like this came into the base medrash, the Omru, and they ruled, he mehemna, she is believed. The Im Isa, the Lo Aflo, if it were so that she didn't miscarry a third time, Nafsha Benifli Lo Machsika, she wouldn't establish herself as a miscarrying woman. So if she's saying that she miscarried a third time, she must be telling the truth. And we take a look at Rashi, he mehem, no, she is believed. The Kaifanoi Soi, we force him to divorce her. Velo Shehi Tovas Gerishin Ela Shalenu Lachufo Lekayim Piriyav Aribya. It's not necessarily that she is demanding a divorce, but rather it is upon us to force him to fulfill the mitzvah of procreation. The Mishnah. Ho'ish Mitzuvah Piriyav Aribya Avolo Ho'isha. The man, the male, is mitzvah, is commanded to fulfill the mitzvah of procreation, not the woman. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broke Omer al Shneim Omer, regarding both of them, man and woman, the Torah says, Vayavarach oisam Elokim Vayomer lahem Elokim pru uravu. The pasuk has the Almighty addressing both Adam and Eve, man and woman, and saying you must procreate. So he holds, as opposed to the Tanakhama, the woman is also commanded or obligated in this mitzvah. Minohani Mili, how does the Tanakhama know, the first opinion in this Mishnah, know that only the man is commanded? On the side of the Gemara, we indicate under the Nosei, the topic heading, that we have a machlokas tanoim ha'im gam ho'isha mitzuvah al-piriyah v'ribah, is the woman also commanded in the mitzvah of procreation. Under the Mivneh heading, the triangle appears, Sidra shel meimros shel Reb Ilah mishum Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. We have a series of statements made by Reb Ilah in the name of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. So if you skim ahead, you can see that's the case with the three triangles. So the question has been raised, from where do we know, where does the Tanakhama, the first opinion, know that only the man is commanded? Omar Reb Ilah mishum Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Omar Kra. He quotes a pasuk, this pasuk is in the context of procreation. The pasuk goes on to say that you shall fill up the land, the world, and conquer it. And we say as follows, the fact that the pasuk used the word kipshua, conquering, ish darko lichbosh, it's the way of males to capture, conquer, the ain isha darko lichbosh, it's not the way of women, it's not womanly to engage in conquering and capturing. Adarabba, well, to the contrary, v'chibshua tarti mashma, the grammar of this word would indicate that the pasuk is instructing the woman as well, because it's written in the plural form. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Rav Nachman says that, well, that might be the way we read the word, but when you look at the way it's written in the Torah, it's written without vowels, and it's written in the singular, the kovsha, ksiv. Rav Yosef Omar Mehocha, ani kel shakai pre urave, v'lo Omar pru uravu. From this pasuk, you see that only one is commanded, because it's not written in the plural, so that you have two sources indicating the singular nature of the command. V'yomer Abila mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon k'shem shemitzvah l'odom loymar davar hanishma, just like there is a mitzvah, an obligation, when rebuking or chastising someone, to say something that will be heeded. Kach mitzvah al adam sheloy loymar davar she'eino nishma. So too, it's obligatory on a person to remain silent when he knows that that which would be said would not be heeded. The Rashi at the beginning of the Gemara commentary, Loimar Dover Hanishma, Dichtiv, Hoicheach Toicheach. That's the Torah instruction to rebuke. Lohochiach mi shemekabel hemenu. That means to rebuke someone who will receive from you, who will listen to you. Rabbi Abba Oimer, Choyva. Now, we've dashed underline this so that you can connect this with the line just before. Rabbi Abba goes further and says it's not just a mitzvah to remain silent. You're obligated. It's a stronger expression, the stronger demand on the part of Chazal to remain silent in rebuking from someone that won't listen. Shenemar al tochach leitz. The al is a command, a negative command. Do not rebuke the scoffer. Pen yis no eka, for he may come to hate you. Hochach lechocham veye e ha veka. Give chastisement to the wise man, for he will love you. The Omar Reb Ilah Mishum Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Mutar Lo La'adam L'shanois B'dvar HaSholem. It is permissible for a person to, L'shanois means to change the facts, or we can say to lie, if through lying one will preserve peace. In other words, through not telling the truth, or if by telling the truth you will create strife and controversy, so you are allowed, you have permission to change the facts. Shneamar, Avichot Tziva v'chulei, Kol Somru liYosef, Ona Sana v'chulei. The pasuk cited is in the context of Joseph and his brothers after the death of their father Jacob. The brothers feared that now that their father is gone, so Yosef will take revenge for their having sold him into slavery. So in order to defend themselves, to protect themselves, they said something that was simply not true. They said that their father had commanded to instruct Yosef to forgive us. Rabbi Nosson Omer Mitzvah. Rabbi Nosson says there is a mitzvah. It's not just that you have permission, but there is more. It's a stronger force that is involved in your changing the facts in order to preserve peace and harmony. Shneamar, Vayomer Shmuel, Ech Eilech V'Shoma Shovar Ageni. This pasuk is in the context of the prophet Shmuel being sent to anoint David, King David, when King Saul was still reigning. So the Almighty asked of Shmuel, go and anoint David. Shmuel says to the Almighty, how can I go carry out that mission when King Saul might get wind of it and he'll kill me? That would be the ultimate rebelling against the king, Moyed B'Malchus. So the Almighty, and this is extremely dramatic, how Shmuel received a command from the Almighty. Could there be no greater guarantee of safety than that? You see from here a principle that the Gemara learns elsewhere, that even though we say shluchei mitzvah einam nizokin, people that are sent on a mission to fulfill a mitzvah are protected from danger, but the mokum hezeka shiny, where there is imminent danger, you can't rely on the fact that you received a command from the Almighty. So that the Almighty, and you see a very broad concept here, that there is something called laws of nature or the way of the world, and the Almighty wants to preserve that as much as possible. He does not perform miracles with alacrity. If it's a matter of compromising nature, and even here we're talking about the nature of man, the Almighty prefers non-intervention on his part, his with a capital H. And therefore you see in this story that the Almighty, after hearing Shmuel's concern that it's for me to go to David and anoint him, I'm endangering myself, he says, you know what, I have a plan. The Almighty says, take a calf with you, and if Shaul asks, where are you going, you tell him, I'm going to slaughter this animal. So even though that wasn't really where he was going, but you see that the Almighty told him, tell a lie in order to preserve peace and harmony. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana. In the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, they teach the following source. Godol HaShalom, great is the preservation of peace. She'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shina Bo. Even the Almighty, you see, changes the facts in order to preserve peace and harmony. And in this particular case, you'll see it's peace between husband and wife. Which husband and wife? Abraham and Sarah. The Meikara Ksiv, when Sarah receives news that she's going to bear a child, She says, how could that possibly be? Vadoni zokain, my husband is old. Ulebesov ksiv, and later when the Almighty tells Avram about the events that Sarah had expressed her amazement at being able to bear children, she in the Kodesh Baruch Hu reports that she laughed, claiming that I, Sarah, am old. That's Ulebesov ksiv anizo kanti. She is reported by the Almighty as saying on herself that she is old, when that really wasn't the case. Because if the Almighty had told Abraham that she said about you, you're an old man, so that would have created a sense of strain and discord in that particular marriage. The next piece of Gemara introduces the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha that we saw in the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, we see a Noseiah topic heading, Machloikas Amoroyim Im Lifsoik Ketanakamo Oi Rabbi Yochanan O Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Should we rule like the Tanakama or like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, who would say that the woman also is commanded in Puravu? Umivareres Ezo Amoira Sover Keeza Tana. And the Gemara will try to clarify which Amora holds like which Tana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Omer. Itma Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We have two Amoroyim, and here we have to emphasize not to confuse names. There's an Amora Rabbi Yochanan and there's a Tana Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. They're obviously two different people. So in the Machlokes Amoroyim, Chad Omar Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, the Chad Omar Ein Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. It's reported in a anonymous fashion that one holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha and the other does not. Who holds like whom? Tistayim, let us conclude Rabbi Yochanan hu de Omar ein halacha, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says not to follow Rabbi Yochanan Brocha, that, and the result would be that only the man is commanded in Puravu. De Yosef Rabbi Avol. You'll note we have a Roman numeral number 1 because there is a different version, an Iko Diamri, that appears in the next line or two. So Rabbi Avo was seated, V'komar Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Avo was quoting the Amora Rabbi Yochanan, Halocha. The Halocha is like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, V'hadrinu Rabbi Ami V'Ravasi Lapayu. And Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, they turned away, they didn't speak up, but they turned away as an expression of, let's say, of objection, of consternation, namely that Rabbi Yochanan never said that. Biko de Amri, another version of the story is Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omar, that not Rabbi Abba, but Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that, quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, Valocha is like Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Ve'adrinu Rabbi Ami Rabasi Lapai. The same gentleman, they turned away in opposition. Within the brackets, you see we have a starred note on the side saying, "Besocha sograim haGemara mevaras ezo mishnei halishonos yisur meduyok." Which one of these two versions is more accurate? But we don't conclude who says what. And after the brackets, the Gemara asks, "My havi Allah." So, what is the final word on this matter? So, now that having been said, within the brackets, Omar Rapapa, Bishlam Olamad Omar Rabbi Avo Omra, according to version 1 of the story involving Rabbi Avo versus Rabbi Ami Ravasi, that the number 1 approach is more likely, that Rabbi Avo is the one that originally said that Rabbi Yochanan ruled like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, and they simply turned away and didn't protest verbally. Mishum kavod be kesar lo omru le velo midi. Rabbi Avo was connected to the He was a government representative of the Jewish people. So he held a high government position, a position that would that demands respect. And as a result of the respect due to his government position, they, when objecting to what he said, simply turned away and didn't verbally protest. That's what is meant by Velo Omar Le, Velo Omru Le, Rabam Ravasi did not say to him, to Rabbi Avo, anything. Velo Midi, nothing. Rather, they simply turned away. El Olamad Yomar Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba Omra, but according to the second version that Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba is the one that reported something they were upset with, Le Mrule, they should have said straight out in a straightforward fashion, Lo Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. They should have contradicted him verbally. The question remains, though, how are we to rule on this matter? My Havi Allah. So what is the ruling? Toshma, the Omar of Acho Bar Chanino, Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar of Asi, Uvdo Have, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Beknishto de Kesri. There was an incident. Uvdo means a story, an incident that happened, where she demanded being divorced because she did not have children. So you have a woman demanding divorce on the grounds that she didn't have children. This case came to Rabbi Yochanan's attention in the place called Beknishto de Kesri, the Omar Yoitzi v'Yitain Ksupa. Her demands are to be met, and hence the husband is to divorce her and compensate her with the ksuba money. If one were to think that she is not commanded in Pru Uravu, ksuba maya vidita, what is the basis of her receiving compensation? She's not losing out on anything, but as it appears, she is commanded in Pru Urvu, according to this ruling. And she is demanding of the husband, you are preventing me from fulfilling the mitzvah. And with this, it would appear then that we rule like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika. The Gemara responds to that and says, Dilma bebo machmas taina. Could be that the woman is not commanded with regard to Pru Uravu, and she wouldn't be able to demand ksuba compensation based on her being prevented from procreation in the mitzvah context. That wouldn't work. She's not commanded. But maybe the Dilma Baba Machmas Taino, she's coming with another claim. Ki Hahi Da Asoi Lekamid Rabami. A case, and we have a note on the side under the Nosei Mivneheading, the diamond introduces Maisim Shishabo Betaina Shiroit Sabonim, a woman coming with a claim that she wants to bear children. The Matsiv Kazeh, with a claim like that, she simply wants children. Afilu Imloi Mitsuba Puruvu, he Yechoila Lekabel Ksuba, even without being commanded in Puruvu, but she is being, by being, let's say, withheld by that husband, who doesn't seem to be divorcing her with any degree of alacrity, so she is claiming, I want to be divorced in order to marry someone else through whom to have children. And what kind of claim could she make? So there's this story where a woman came to Rav Ami, Omro Le, she claims from her husband, Hav Li Ksuba. She says, maybe she's saying to Rabbi Ami, I want you to provide to make sure that I get my ksuba from my husband. Omar lo zil lo mifkidis. Go. You don't have a ksuba claim. You're not commanded in the mitzvah of Pru Uravu. And if you are the one that wants to leave the marriage, in other words, you are initiating the marriage, then you do not have a ksuba coming to you. Omra le, she says back to Rabbi Ami, Masibu Dila. Now, the Dila means is spoken in the third person, but oftentimes people will speak in the third person referring to themselves. Masibu means in my old age, like the word Saba or is an old man. So in my old age, Masibu Dila, my tehevei Allah dahachitza. What's going to be with that woman? Meaning, what's going to be with me? I won't have anyone to take care of me if I don't have children. Omar. So Rabbi Ami said, ki ha vadai kafinon. With a claim like that, we will definitely force him to divorce her and pay the ksuba. Hahi dasoy lekami de Rav Nachman. Omar lo, lo mifkedis. Same situation where a woman comes claiming, I want a divorce and receive a ksuba payment, and she's initiating the divorce. I want to be divorced. In order to have children. And Rav Nachman says, Omar lo, lo mifkedis. You're not commanded in the mitzvah. And if you want to be divorced, so then you lose out on the ksuba. If you're initiating the divorce, so the husband is not obligated to pay your ksuba. Omra le, so she says to Rav Nachman, lo baya hach itza chutra liyadu mara lekvura. Does the woman, meaning again herself, does she not need a stick for her hand, a walking stick? The walking stick is figurative to a child that will support her, a son that will help her in her old age. And mora is a spade or a shovel for burial. Who will bury me if I die childless? Omar, Rav Nachman said, ki ha vadai kafinon. With a claim like that, we definitely will force him to divorce her, and she has a reasonable claim in demanding a ksuba. Now, in this piece of Gemara, we haven't said anything about the man. Are we talking about a man that has not fulfilled Puravu already, or maybe he has fulfilled Puravu, and therefore the focus is on the woman and her claims? So that's a point that needs to be clarified. The Gemara doesn't make any direct mention of that, but it seems from the simple flow of things in this Gemara that the rabbis, you had Rav Ami and Rav Nachman, dismissing the woman in the fact that she was initiating the divorce. It would seem that it's a situation where we are not forcing him to divorce her because he may very well have already fulfilled Pru Uravu. I just noticed a comment made by the Tosfos that sets up the case here where we know that the man, the husband in this case, we know him to have been awkward, to be incapable of procreation. So as we suspected in our presentation, that the discussion was really focused on the woman. We continue in the Gemara. Yehuda v'Chizkiya te'umim hayu. These were twins, Yehuda and Chizkiya. They happened to be the sons of Rabbi Chiya. Their twin birth was very unusual. Echad nigmara tzurasa l'sof tisha. One was, in terms of the pregnant of his pregnancy, one's form was completed at the end of 9 months. The echad nigmara tzurasa l'tchilas shiva. The other one was completed after 6 months, and just into the beginning of the 7th month. As far as the actual birthing of them, it might be that one child emerged after 6 months, and the mother remained with the second child in her till for another practically 3 months. Very painful experience, to put matters lightly, to possibly understate the case. Very painful. Yehudis devisu de Reb Chiya havelot tsar leida. The wife of Reb Chiya, this is the woman bearing these twins, she had great pains in giving birth. Shanoi Mona, she later on, or she disguised herself, V'yasya L'kamei D'Rabchia, and she came to her husband in a disguise, so he didn't know that it was his wife. Omran, she put a question to him, Itso Mifkida Pirifarib, is a woman commanded to fulfill the mitzvah of procreation? Omar, lo, no, a woman is not obligated. Oslo ishti samo d'akrusa. She went and drank a potion that results in a woman becoming infertile, becoming barren. Lasof igloi milsa. It then became known to Reb Chia what had happened, that his wife was the one that had asked him the question, and that she rendered herself incapable of bearing children. Omar lo, he says to her, "Ichu yaldis li chado kreso achrita." If it would only be that you wouldn't have drunk that potion and bore for me another, well, said belly full, literally translated, another, Rashi says keres echad. The Gemara used the expression karso achrita, another load of children. Now we'll see in a minute that this Yehudis had actually born for Rabbi Chia two sets of twins. Diyama Mar, Yehuda v'Chizkia achi, Yehuda and Chizkia are brothers. They were twins, the children of Rabbi Chia and Yehudis. Pazi v'Tavi, these are names. Pazi v'Tavi. Ach v'saw, they were twin sisters. The Gemara continues at the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph, after the word Ach v'saw, the twin sisters. V'lo mifkidi, are women not commanded? V'ho omar rav acho bar rav katino omar b'yitzchok. Maisa b'isho achas, was an incident involving a woman. She was originally a bondmaid. She was a slave woman, but she was owned, let us say, by two owners. One of them set his half free. The other owner retained his control over her. So she's called a half shifcha, half baschorin. A woman like that has no marriage options. She can't marry an eved, a slave, which a total shivcha would be able to do, because she's partially free, and a free person is becomes Jewish, and a Jew is not allowed to marry a slave individual. So she can't marry a full-fledged Jew, nor can she marry a slave, because she's partially baschorin. So she's restricted from all marriage possibilities. So this happened, that a woman like that appeared. The kofu es rabo, the asal bas horin, they forced her master, the one that retained 50% ownership over her, and forced him to free her, making her free. And it would appear that the reason for that was so that she could marry. She would now be able to marry a Jewish gentleman, and through that fulfill the mitzvah puravu. So it would seem that she is commanded. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman says no, this is not indicative of her being commanded, but rather the need for her to get married was because otherwise, the way things are right now, minig hefker nohagu ba. Rashi, on the second line from the top, minig hefker nohagu ba lefi shelo haisi yecholu linosei, since she was unable to marry in this half state, haisa mafkeres atzma, she declared herself hefker. Hefker would mean a free woman in the sense of immorality. The choytin ba, she would have relations, intimacy with all kinds of men, and that's an intolerable situation. Lefikach kafu es rabo l'shachra, therefore they forced her owner to free her, and then she'll marry a legitimate husband, a legitimate marriage, and she will no longer, she'll be under his control and not be Hefker anymore. Before we conclude, of course, we take note that we just finished the perek, sixth perek of Yevamos, and before we sign off, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.